Pain is hard. The complexity of pain treatment and management. That's the subject for a presentation by Dr. Roland Mac Gallagher in Kansas City, April 26, 2011. Dr. Gallagher is the Director of Pain Management at the Philadelphia Veteran Affairs Medical Center, and he joins us on the Bioethics Channel. Let's start with something in the headlines. I saw a report from the American Academy of Pain Medicine on the Food and Drug Administration rules from last year for electronic prescribing and risk evaluation and mitigation strategy requirements for controlled substances. Some of your colleagues quoted in the article called these rules burdensome and costly. So when you think about rules for electronic prescribing, do you think burdensome?
The electronic prescribing has many advantages in the sense that if you're thinking about creating understanding the use of medications in general over time in a system, it's a great way to collate data, to understand patterns of care, to understand how in large populations, for example, in the Veterans Administration, for example, where we have electronic prescribing, you can actually look at how effective different medications and combinations of medications and other treatments are in managing a certain condition. And because you have a large number of data points and a large population of cases, you can really tell things that you can't tell in a clinical trial of 100 patients for 500 patients or 1,000 patients. One of the big challenges we have in pain medicine and research is understanding how combinations of treatments really make a difference in outcomes. I think the electronic database really helps with that. It also helps us understand who's at risk and who's not at risk for certain complications, including problems with misuse or abuse of opioids, but other issues as well. In many different ways, the electronic medical record helps us.
Then you have the risk evaluation and mitigation strategies that the FDA is proposing. And as I understand from the article, there's one cancer drug where it involves enrollment of all patients in a drug registry, physician review of prescribing information and educational materials, a completion of provider knowledge assessment. That sounds like a lot of bureaucracy, doesn't it?
Well, there are two issues here. First of all, what's effective in risk mitigation and improving the competencies of providers? I mean, that's really the bottom line question here. Knowing how to write a prescription and follow it along in pain management is for one particular drug really isn't the issue. The issue is more competency in pain management generally. Because that's the best mitigation strategy. If someone has general competence in knowing how to evaluate a patient, how to develop what we call a biopsychosocial treatment plan, a plan that is patient-centered and takes into account all the factors that influence the phenomenology, in other words, the course of the disease and its outcome, and addresses those issues in a treatment plan, then the opioid management fits right into that. You actually look at the risks of not just opioids, but other medications as well, and learn how, when not to start opioids in the first place if it's not appropriate, or how to keep them going even if some risks exist and how to manage those risks. You know, we have a population with individuals who handle things differently, including pain and disorders and conditions and cancer, et cetera, that cause pain. And we have to set up our system so that we can manage those differences in ability to manage treatment and to work with the clinical team. So you have to look at an education program that does that. Now, it's focusing specifically on a class of medications like opioids could be useful if it was tied to a broader educational strategy. When I was giving the opening address to the FDA REMS conference last fall, what I did was looked at the evidence of what works for education and in terms of opioids or pain management, and And just giving a lecture or giving people materials in a brochure doesn't really change behavior. What changes behavior is what we call an academic detailing approach, which is means that, you know, kind of like a residency program where you learn how to do something with a supervision over time, going over the actual cases that you're taking care of as a resident, and then, you know, augmenting that or supplementing that with lectures and papers to read and various readings and stuff. So it's a combination of experience that's supervised, it's kind of a preceptorship, apprenticeship model, really, and then information that you obtain from reading and lectures. And that really does work and changes behavior and changes outcomes of patients.
What are some of the things you're doing at the Veterans Administration there to advance the cause of pain treatment and management?
Well, we've taken a population-based approach to this issue, recognizing that in the VA health system, over 50% of our patients, both from the current wars and also from past wars, have chronic pain of various types. And particularly, we're challenged by managing this large influx of new casualties that have survived sometimes horrendous wounds and injuries, that have many different sources of pain in their bodies, and also have suffered psychological injuries as well from these experiences that only people at war get exposed to in our society, and we have a big challenge in the VA to manage both groups, the aging population with various diseases of aging that cause pain, plus leftover injuries from wartime experience, and then the new younger cohort coming in from the present wars. So this was a challenge to us because, unlike doctors who take care of diabetes or spine, heart disease, hypertension, where most residency programs in primary care, internal medicine, or family practice, or if you're a nurse practitioner, you learn about those things in your training, whereas most practitioners don't have much training in pain. So we're starting off with an untrained workforce, generally speaking, and or not adequately trained workforce. And then we don't have a whole large cadre of pain medicine specialists throughout the system to help. That's the challenge we face. What we've done is said, well, how can we allocate and realign our resources to take care of these hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cases of pain in this population of patients we're responsible for? And if 50% of the cases of the patients have pain, obviously the pain specialist can't take care of them all. So we have to develop a system that creates competency and capabilities in the primary care setting. That's a big educational program. So what we've done is we've established what we call a step care model, where primary care providers will learn basic skills in managing the most common pain disorders, and yet there will be system support, such as case management, nurses, integration of behavioral health into primary care settings, immediate access to secondary consultation with pain medicine specialists, mental health specialists, and others that are needed in that setting, the availability of physical therapy, the availability of evidence-based CAM, complementary and alternative medicines. So we've shifted our whole focus to training primary care providers and then training the trainers better, the pain medicine specialists who will do that training and also be accessible for consultation and collaborative care. And then finally, there are always going to be patients, because of complexity, because of comorbidities, because of resistance to normal treatments, what we call the tertiary care patient, the patients who really require high-level specialty treatment. And the VA system has committed itself to developing in every visit in every regional health system, and there are 22 of them in the VA, every regional health system at least one rehabilitation program for severe, complex, chronic pain to be able to do this.
Dr. Gallagher, pain treatment has been a complex and vexing issue for some time now. Have we moved the needle at all? Are we making progress?
Well, we do know what's needed now. Unfortunately, we haven't developed any, you know, dramatically new and effective treatments. So we're still dealing with the treatments we've used for a long time. There are some new ways of delivering treatments that have helped, but in terms of the organization of care, we haven't moved the needle that much. Until we actually have a well-trained workforce with pain departments in every medical school and pain faculty who are really well-trained with sufficient, you know, 2 to 4 years of training in pain, in complete training, not just training in doing injections or writing pills or whatever, but complete training, much like an internist who's completely trained in internal medicine or cardiologists in cardiology. Until we do that so that the entire workforce is trained up, so that every resident in internal medicine and family practice knows what's needed at the primary care level, that every OB, GYN resident gets trained in pelvic pain disorders and how to manage them, that every urologist has the same training, et cetera, that every orthopedics resident knows something about neuropathic pain and not just about bones, joints, and ligaments and muscles. I mean, until we actually get that kind of training throughout the system, then in terms of medical care, we're not going to get that far. So it's a matter of awareness, culture change within the medical system, and we're moving in that direction. Congress passed 3 laws. One for the military, one for the VA, and one for the NIH to get on the stick and get this done. And so it's happening. The IOM is presently meeting to review all this and see what we need to do. And there's a lot of discussion. So it's at the forefront now on the agenda for many different groups that have influence. And finally, the AMA had the first pain summit last fall where specialists from every specialty, including pain specialists, but a pediatric surgery, all the other ones, got together for a full day of deliberation based on a Delphi process for several months before that to address the issues of training and in pain medicine and medical school residencies and pain specialists. So there's movement at all fronts. Never fast enough, of course, but we're hopeful we're getting there.
Dr. Roland Mac Gallagher is the Director of Pain Management at the Philadelphia Veteran Affairs Medical Center. For more information about his presentation and the symposium on April 26, 2011 in Kansas City, visit practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.